folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast, a Jay Bird. It is 2025. You're living in the future. You're like a Did you think when in the 80s when you were doing the robot dance at all the discotheques that the future would be this zany?
I didn't really do the robot, Steve. I did a lot of breakdancing, as everybody might remember, you know. But this is a reset podcast. We're reintroducing ourselves. And why don't you start?
Oh, I'm not introducing myself. Forget that.
Well, my name's Jay. I work at the Musky Shop.
It's not that bad.
Okay.
We're not.
You got
people,
that out of the way.
People that are listening that long. They're like, oh, God. No. We want to hit some of this winter stuff where we're kind of re-hitting. Some things change, man. I want to get through baits again because it's been a few years and look at, you know, some of the old stuff because it just keeps changing, you know. And you got guys that are new to the sport where, you know, they didn't have an opportunity to buy Johnny Flogglehorn's Cranking Ripper, you know, or something ridiculous. What was the bait? Somebody emailed the other night and they're asking about this bait, and I called Jay and I was like, what? You know, it was so esoteric. And you let me know.
Oh, yeah. That top water?
Yeah, it's like Johnny's glub, glub, love, glove, blub, blub, you know. I'm like, what?
Well, that's why we're doing this. I mean, you know, not everyone is aware that, you know, some baits haven't been made for 20 years or even 30.
We're not, you know.
Yeah, because they got one in their tackle box. And I'm looking for another one, you know.
Well, like,
boy.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What is the what's the conditions like up there? I know that for the little bit of ice, are people still getting out? I mean, you guys have snow now for your snowmobilers and all that fun stuff.
We don't know. No, there's hardly any snow. It's just been cold, so making a lot of ice. Ice conditions were great, and they still are. They're just getting better. So, I mean, they're actually driving trucks on lakes now. So,
wow.
Ice fishing's been real good, but, you know, snowmobile trails, we just need some snow at this point. We need it.
You can drive your truck out on the lake year-round if you're not a coward, Jay.
That's one way of looking at it. Some people do it.
Some people do it. I've seen. We were talking about. I was on the boat with a client today, and we were talking about ramp catastrophes. And I've seen people try to drive their truck through the lake. You know, it's easier when there's ice, but doesn't seem to run real well after you go down the ramp. So,
That's for sure.
I've seen it. You'll see it like places that do, you know, a lot of trailer moving, whether it be like, you know, like flatbeds or boats and all this stuff, where they'll put a hitch on the front, Jay. Right?
Put a hitch on the front of the front truck?
On the nose, yeah. And that,
okay.
That's always an exciting one. It's all, you know, that's happened before where they hitch them on the front and just drive them into the lake, you know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's happened, you know.
Okay.
But it's not a common thing, but I say that.
Like people that struggle, so that they drive to the boat ramp, they take the trailer off, then they turn the truck around and fasten it on the front so they
can. That has happened, yes. But I'm.
Wow.
That comes from, there are some people, like I said, it's not very common where you have a hitch on the front. It's super uncommon, but it's done more on like a lot, you know. So some people have realized, oh, that's easier, and they try to do that crap, or probably weld it themselves and just put it right in the boat or right in the water, and then whatever, I'll get down that ramp. That it came up because I called Jay yesterday, got out on the boat ramp, opened my door, right? I step out. Jay, imagine, there you are hiding in the bushes at 5:45. What you would have seen, right? Other than the cops, no, I'm teasing. I step out of my car door, put one foot on the ramp, end up on my ass and slid into the lake. Yeah. That's how iced up it was. And it was, we were talking the other day or a few weeks, heck, whatever. We're talking about Herbeck before the holidays, with Steve Herbeck before the holidays, about preparedness for cold water fishing. You know, I've got all the junk in the trunk, if you will. You know, I got my rock salt. I've got all my stuff. I didn't even think about duck hunters, Jay. So somebody had launched before I had, and it froze solid. It was a sheet of ice, and I just went sliding into the lake. So that was exciting.
I was having some sand and salt way in the back, and the winter months is critical sometimes.
Critical, especially
if you want to get the boat out.
Well, you know, that's the trick, and You try to something if you're on something that's not used too terribly much. I try to like launch on one side and then pull it out on the other so you're not spreading ice. Yeah. But most, you know, all it takes is one duck hunter there to just mung you up. I didn't know it. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even register in my pinochle brain that there was another Traeger there, because it's like 5:45 in the morning, you know. But I was awake. It was a brisk morning. So anyway, but caught some fish. That spanky M9 Pro is just dynamite, JJ.
Yeah, you've been raving about it. I
raving
know.
About it. Talk to Mr. Motes. We're going to have him on shortly. He's got some exciting stuff coming. I think that big grandma, the big 13-inch grandma pro, is going to be here before we thought it was, which is going to be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's just jump right in. I want to talk baits, and we're going to talk about must-haves. We've done it before, but it's been years, and kind of go through as many breakdowns of different baits, right, and what we think is going to perform the best, because right now we're getting so many emails. Hey, I got a gift card from the Muskie shop, right? Or hey, I was just released from prison, what bait should I buy? You know, there's reasons people start buying baits. They got a gift card, they got a little Christmas cash, they just got out of a penal institution, want to take up fishing, you know, normal. And so go through it here, but I'll say this. The common thread is here. These are our opinions, and it's no bad. There's no bad baits, right? It's not like, hey, this is just what me and Jay are going to try. Heck, I don't know what Jay's answer are. Hopefully we get in a fight. But, you know, these are just opinions of what we've used and what seems to be consistent. Because I think a lot of times, because you look at, like, we do the, what's it? We call them pro packs or starter packs at the shop, Jay. I can't recall. Like a beginner pack, what do we call those? Pro pack, diving.
Well,
rise.
We've got a pro pack, but we've got kits. So we've got like a crankbait kit, jerkbait kit, you know.
Right.
There's five lures, small tackle box, blah blah blah.
Gotcha.
You know, for someone looking to give a gift or someone starting out, it's like here's some staples that are going to work great.
But a lot of that too, which is great. You're getting, you know. What is it, five? Yeah, like you're getting kind of five in the same category and some, you know, slightly divergent, where more so if you're going to outfit yourself for some serious musky fishing is where I want to go. You know what I'm saying? Like what's kind of what he came to do? Anyway, first and foremost, easy. Easy. There's very few options available in the world of bucktails, Jay.
Click on the bucktail tab. There's like 11 pages
of
there's
blades.
A lot. There is a lot.
So,
and like you said before, there are no bad baits. We don't sell bad baits. They all have a time and a place and a specific, you know, technique or what have you. So
okay.
Yeah,
we got one bad bait, Savage Gear Wake Snake, okay?
No, those things work. Are you kidding me? Oh, man.
I make fun of that thing incessantly.
Probably sold out, too.
It is.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, boys, you mentioned down three. They're on the snakes, boys. I'll tell you right now, they're eating snakes like you can't stop them.
You can't. Fish where you fish in August.
Oh,
you got to have a snake, baby.
You say that.
Flip one right under the little willows and everything. Flip them under the willows.
I've seen
old
it.
Technique. Works
no,
every time.
I've seen them. In the spring, I hate snakes more than... And we got the old copperheads, the old poisonous copperheads, and they'll swim, right? Little trick, guys, if you see a snake in the water, if it's floating on top, it's usually venomous.
Really?
Yeah.
General rule of thumb down there?
Well, water snakes will swim with their head out and their body down. The ones that are completely on top. Maybe that's an old wives' tale. I don't know. Maybe we have a herpetologist that listens and says, hey, you're an idiot. Right? Maybe we have somebody with herpes that listens, too. I don't care. This is what I've been told from a herpetologist. Not from a herpetologist, but, you know, from what I'm aware of. That's a pretty good indicator, but I've seen tons of copperheads, and I've actually saw one get blown up on this year. It grossed me out so bad. I was like, no, please, no, you know. But anyway, I'm not making fun of the wake snake. I am, you know. So this whole episode is about how many wake snakes you should buy, Jay.
Okay,
30, 40.
Okay,
What do you paint them? Whatever. Moving on. There's tons.
Here we go.
Tons of blades here. Easiest way for me to look at blades. It's not one size fits all. It's not, you know.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's a game of, you know, you've got so many different combinations, not even combo blades, but different things. So you've got small blades. When I think of small blades, I'm thinking MEPs, to your eights, and then tens, and then interchangeably, you know, stagger. So what, right. would you, Jay, what right. is your, we're going small, we're going like that spring, that downsizer blade, what is it? What's the one that comes to your mind, or a couple that comes to your mind, and we will debate the merits of such?
And you're saying, we're also talking profile too. You know, when we're saying small blades, you're generally thinking smaller profile. You're thinking early season or what have you. Choices. Without question, MEPS Musky Killer.
Yeah.
Which is a small number five French blade, small bucktail.
Right.
And my favorite, which is similar, is that RJ. What's it called, Steve?
RJ is the, goodness gracious, he's got the French.
French tail. Yes. Caught fish on that. I love it. Okay. It's a little bit different from the MEPS. It's not segmented like the MEPS. And MEPS uses lighter wire, so there's going to be a different sound, even though the blade might be the same size.
I would say.
And how about you?
For me, in that category, we got to pick one out of these, like the one and why, right?
Okay. Now,
but, okay, RJ's that see, I think it's kind of mini, but I like the, and you've seen me catch fish on it, the front-loaded mini Tiger. It is a double, but it's a mini double, right? Which is, it's front weighted where he's got, there was a bait years ago, and I used to have one called the Abyss. And that was like a bucktail somebody made for like an hour and a half. And it kind of reminds me of that, where it's got this heavy minnow body lead weight deal in the front loaded part of the bucktail. With a couple.
Okay, that's the RJD8 you're talking about, right? No, the double weight?
Mini Tiger.
Okay.
There's the mini Tiger tail. Okay. Two number
single
sevens.
Blade.
No, it's 2.7s. But I clip it down to a single. So it's got actually a fluted blade on it, right? Which is a la like what you'd see on a Booker 500 or a 700. And I don't even know if he, let me look if he even makes this unmodded. Maybe he should. Let's look. No, and this is why I do this. So I guess we're coming out with a bang where you gotta buy the thing and fool with it. But I like the mini Tiger tail, right? And oh no, it is a single. What's the one I'm tearing up the other one. My apology. So the Tiger tail is a single. It's the other one, the bigger one that I'm tearing up. So yes, this is a single number seven. That thing is money. So I was confused on models there. That's my kind of the modern one, and then I would have to debate on the Giant Killer.
Yeah. MEPS Giant Killer, you kidding me?
So, those are my two. Okay, and it's funny because it's like you got RJs and you have MEPS. I got RJs and MEPS. I don't think that, and this is the fun thing about musky baits, I don't think the RJs and the MEPS are necessarily insanely comparable, right? Where if you look at the intricacies of the MEPS versus the RJs, I mean, jointed body versus a solid body versus weight forward.
Yeah, heavy wire versus light wire.
Yeah, you got me. Okay. But, I mean, comes down to one. The theoretically, okay, non-modified, you got to pick one of those four. You can't have both. What's your pick?
I'm just partial to that RJ French tail.
There you go.
This is stuff we've both used and caught fish on recently. Yeah. You know, something that we're reaching for, folks. So that's, we're not playing favorites. You know?
No.
There's a lot of other options in that thing.
It's opinion, but we get it. Trust me, this is not because people aren't asking. It's just like, and I get it. You're sitting on the store site, or you're looking at tackle and go, well, what's, I don't want to lump those two together, but I would say overall, I've caught. I don't want to throw out a number, but it's a scary number of fish I've caught on a silver and black French, or not French, a willow leaf giant killer. Been throwing the. I don't think I could give that one up. You know what I'm saying? For the RJs, because you can always add some weight to the MIPS and get it to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's, we'll leave it at that. That would be the two. We're not going to sit here and take it from there. We all know the giant killer would probably win, but I don't know. It's hard. It's like split. Ah, so got to have it in the box. Jay, you're the French RJs. I'll go with the MEPS giant killer, either white with the silver blade or black skirt with the silver blade. What's cool about the MEPS is you can change the little deer hair skirts out with the split ring. That's kind of the modular nature of it, Jay's what's getting me.
You better believe it. Yep.
You can't, and from a durability, and I'll say this, it's not a one-to-one, but from a durability standpoint and what you can do with that bait, with the MEPS being jointed with a split ring, you can do a lot more with it. That would be the reason there. Okay. Easy for me. Double eights. I'm Spankies all day anymore. Just from a standpoint of build quality, the blade thickness. I don't, you know, the running depth. I think the running depth of a lot of bucktails is too shallow anyway. So you get a heavier bucktail with heavier blades. The wire is like bicycle spoke, right? You can catch a slobosaurus and he's not going to bend it up. Skirts are great. You know, everything's quality there, down to the heat shrink quality on that. Jay, what's kind of your, what's your double eight, kind of that mid-size blade?
Double eight Colorado, MEPS flashable, MEPS musky flashable.
Yeah. Killer.
Yep.
I love those too. I just said giant.
But I like something that spins right away.
True.
And I like something that's interchangeable. Again, you can change those out, and they're segmented, they're jointed. There's a split ring connecting the skirt on, but you can slow that thing down. And I like that with bucktail, that you can you can slow roll.
Well, and we've done that a bunch, and that's you know, you say that, and I sit here and go, you know, we both. I don't want it to be the broken, or the, just the trope with this, but again, I don't feel those two. If you notice, it's like I'm going for something that's like with the last two blades. Here's a heavy blade and here's a light blade. And I throw them both, and I love them. But the MEPS, it's almost the same answer when you go in a comparison of the RJs with a musky killer is not replaceable, but the variety of things you can do with that MEPS. Now here's the kicker for me on the MEPS, Jay. Here is,
kick it, kick me, hit me.
Here's my issue with the MEPS. The hooks are anemic. Two things.
Easy to change out though.
Easy to change out, but the guy that's buying bucktails and he's fishing a few weekends a year or something like that, does he have a box of sevens laying around? He should, but...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Should you have to buy a bait that, in my opinion, is in need of a better hook? Right? Now, what's going on with that is, I believe, before I speak out of turn, right?
Okay. Yeah, because I have an opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's wrong, but nonetheless.
No, it's pretty good. Right, it's a good one. Here.
You go to, I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn. I believe these have four aughts. So every other bucktail on planet Earth of the eight, in the eight blade class, your mid-sized bucktail has a seven aught, right? It's not listed on the website. These come with a four aught on the back, right? Every time I get one of these, I'm taking it off, taking the four aught off, and replacing that with a seven, and they've got a hook that's like fused, it's married to the wire, the body, which is also a four aught, which is cool. It's in there, but you can't easily replace that front hook. So I find myself a lot of times taking my Nipex, cutting that front hook completely out of the equation, going with a single seven on the back. So
sure,
I love it, but to get it up to snuff for me, and it is a guide, I need a super sharp, big hook on blades, better hookup ratio, the bigger roundness of the bend of the hook, there's a little more playability in there. Well, I don't even know if that's a word, but nonetheless, I feel more confident with that standard bucktail hook on the back of that bait. So being it's a $20 bucktail, which is awesome price point, but I think to maximize that bait, you got to modify it. What's your thought?
Yeah, I was just thinking the weedless qualities of having that 4-aught on there, that bait slides through weeds really efficiently, and you go with a bigger hook. You're gonna catch weeds a little bit more consistently with that, so that would be a drawback. But it depends on how and where you fish. So,
right,
well, you know, I fish a lot of weed tops with that bait. So,
well, and you can leave one unmodded. But I mean, I just find, like I said, it's opinion. I find that to be in general like a little weak. You know, it's just what I do for better. I'm sure there's somebody raging right now. Don't take the hook. Change the hook. Well, Lenny Crick's ball made it and whatever. Don't care. It needs a 7-aught. But nonetheless, those are the two that are like, okay, those are the ones. And I think the commonality, and I love, trust me, I got a pile of the Meps Musky Flash because that's what I call my light contouring bucktail. I'm going to go over weed tops. I'm going to use it to follow up top waters. I can slow roll the crap out of that bait where the Spankies with the heavier wire and a heavier blade, you know it's holding a little bit more or a deeper running depth even at high speed applications, right? And they slow roll well. But I think the commonality with both of those bucktails is they both start without having to jerk them. I hate critical. Nothing super more. I absolutely loathe bucktails that you have to pull start, right? And what's funny when I'm guiding people and we're throwing blades at times, don't rip them. Throw them out, start turning the handle. And it's so the bucktail's not starting immediately. It's so pervasive that the majority of musk anglers throw a bucktail and they pull it no matter what. So they've advanced the bucktail with little to no action, 2 feet, ripped it. You know, if I need to fish sell, I want that thing to open up and start immediately, right? And what a lot of that is from is a really good blade design, right? And a really well-balanced bucktail. And a lot of that has to do, we're doing a bucktail making video that comes out here shortly, is the skirt spacing. So if you're ever making bucktails, one of the most critical things, in my opinion, to get a bucktail to run properly is that you have at least, just take one finger, unless your finger, Jay, is the size of a corn dog, a typical human finger from the bottom of the blade to the top of the skirt. If you take the skirt and pull it back like it would be in the water, right? So there's the frictional force of water pulling the flashaboo backwards or whatever material it is. You should have the clearance of one finger between the blade and the top of that skirt. That is more than enough room to allow that blade to open up, right? What will happen is if your blade is residing very close to that skirting material, it is catching on the skirting material, which is not going to allow it to open up, right? So that's the first factor. The next factor, if you're building a bucktail or you're mass producing a bucktail, is an appropriate clevis for the size of blade. And what will happen is if you have a clevis that is too big, the clevis, for those that don't know, a clevis is the thing that attaches the actual bucktail blade to the wire shaft, right? So if the clevis is too big, it actually lengthens the entire thing here, takes more force, and you know, more force is more problematic to open up, where there's some bucktails that would really be helped by using a smaller, lighter clevis, right? Now, the clevis can influence the amount of revolutions that a bucktail makes around, blah, 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 blah. We're not going to crawl down that rabbit hole. But that's what Spankies, in my opinion, have achieved, and the Meps have achieved, is a really harmonious marriage between the blade, the clevis, and the clearance between the skirting material. Those are crucial. And I say this because people go, well, the weighting, the forward weight, this and that and the other. When I'm hand making bucktails at times, I will literally use no weight, right? I'll essentially make bucktails, people that fish with me all over have seen it, where I'll take and just use plastic spacer beads, and it's basically blades, a skirt, and a hook, right? That's as shallow as you can run them, but you can slow roll the crap out of them. Where it's you can get in trouble overweighting the rear of the bait and all this stuff, but most of the time you can get away with little to no weight. So it's not a weighting issue that causes those blades to not open up most of the time. It's usually the harmony between the clevis and the blade and then that skirting material thing. But that, like I said, that is the biggest kicker. So both of those, Spankies and Meps, Jay, I'm sure you'd agree. Maybe not. More fun if you didn't. We can just scream at one another. But both of those are very easy to throw out, start turning the handle, and they open up pretty much immediately.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. You have to have a bucktail that performs that way.
Well, you're missing fish, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fishing tight weed edges or right over top of weeds, if you don't have a bucktail that's opening up like lickety split, you're in trouble. Making sure that all of them still have this. I don't know if he's changed it. I don't think Mr. Moats has. What I like about Spankies, they've got that plastic disc under their clevises too that eliminates some friction against the beads. There's a little plastic insert there that helps those things open up. Another little trick here real quick. Huh? I should sell these for $1 a piece and call them Bucktail Start'em Ups, Jay.
Okay.
Not tell them what it is. You know those peeler beads? Have you ever seen those?
Peeler beads? I'm not sure.
They're these little plastic beads. They're you know, a couple fractions of an inch wide, and they have a hole in the middle, and they're for like these weird crafting projects. Looks like something out of the 70s. Little, you know, kids and grandmas making little art projects out of these multicolored little plastic pieces, right?
Okay.
You can go to Hobby Lobby or Walmart and buy 200 of them for 50 cents. Okay. Number one, they make great hook retainers on spinner baits. Right, you can heat them up, put them on there, and then let them cool, and they were not going to bust off. But when you're making bucktails, if you put them under the clevises, they have the same effect as those little plastic discs because it's a plastic. There's no grind to it, and they're peeler beads. They're, if you've ever done some craft, make sure I'm saying that right. Peeler bead. What are they for? It's not even a bead. It's like a little tube. Oh. Perler, excuse me. I'm peeler, potato, patata. Yeah, here they are. Perler beads. You get 1,000 for $1.99, Jay. That's a lot of bucktails and replacement hooks. Yeah, they're just these little things people make. This package, Jay, believe it or not. It's got them. Looks like somebody, when they're shooting the photo here at Hobby Lobby, made a little monkey, Jay. He made a little monkey and a crab out of these things.
He made a monkey out of those beads?
He made a monkey out of these perler beads.
Nice.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever talked about, but they're a heck of a hack to have on hand for bucktails and spinnerbaits. Anyway, that's the bucktails. Casting cranks. There's even less options, Jay. I'm teasing. There's so many, and I get why people get, I want to say confused, but overwhelmed. You know, you're trying to figure out. So with crankbaits, you got mid, shallow, and deep. Shallow casting twitching cranks. What is it, Jay? I know your answer already. It's my answer, too. Let's just get out of the way. Slammer.
Well, yeah, the Slammer 6-inch fatty. That's, it's too good.
That, forget about it. He likes the fatty. The fatty runs deep if you're twitching over weeds and things of that nature at times.
Yeah, I mean, 3 feet, maybe four right. Casted, but right. No,
I mean, you're fishing freaking Canada. There's some other scenarios other than that, but it, as far as apples to oranges, tactically, if you got to have just one, you could lighten up the 6-inch and do the same deal, but either or, because if I'm thinking about durability, price point, quality, right?
Right.
And when it comes to crankbaits, you know, bucktail's a bucktail's a bucktail. It's wire, it's skirt. The skirt will get demolished. If you get enough hits on the thing or strikes, the skirting material will tear up. Crankbaits shouldn't leak, shouldn't crack, the lips shouldn't fall out, right? Shouldn't have all these issues, and it should have like a not a lifetime, nothing. It's a freaking going in a fish with teeth, its mouth, but should have some longevity to it. And that's, I think, with Slammer, as far as that, that's where it's like, okay, no brainer for me. Anything in that lineup, like I said, from the sixth, you got the 6-inch round lip. I think for me, if I'm going to go one and done, just one and done, is going to be the 7-inch. Just the 7-inch Slammer Minnow.
It's a great bait, too. Yeah, and I trolled that a lot shallow this year, too. That's great for that. And, yep, yeah, you know, if you want the, like, back to the Slammer 6-inch fatty minnow, you want that to run a little shallower, put a minnow fishtail on the back of that thing.
Uh-huh. It'll lift it up.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Just got a little bit more drag, and you know, it runs at that 2-foot range, even with the rod tip down. Mm-hmm. And it's got nice. Got that enticing tail wiggle. That's a little trick. They're inexpensive to get those tails, and they just go right on the back. Cut a portion of it and slip it over the treble, and then splintering your hook right back on.
When I saw this, he came out with the 9. Bill Slammer did. Let me look here. 9-inch. Minnow bait.
Yeah, that's brand new.
Molded.
Right.
Is that molded, leak-proof, internal stainless steel wire? Are they, with the construction on that bait, I've not seen water intrusion in a Slammer.
And no, they're solid plastic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
solid plastic. There's nothing. What are you going to do? I think that's the no-brainer. I mean, you got some classics. There's some classics there, but if I'm going for, I have to have a twitch bait, and I want to get in the game, or I want something that's going to cover a lot of bases. Jay, you, like you said, I'm going to go with the 7-inch. You like the round belly, nonetheless, but that's not a bad point. If you have, you do have a little bit more versatility and depth with the round belly, but as you said, you could theoretically augment its running depth a little bit, or just a higher rod angle, less aggressive twitch, things of that nature.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And we're talking casting. This is for your twitch, your cast, your straight retrieve. Oh, gosh, yep. I say that, though, and then I freaking think of a shallow invader. Ugh.
Musk invasions.
Yeah. Shallow invader. I love them, too. Oh, man.
Bigger bait, but yeah.
Bigger bait. But see, when I'm thinking, and that's almost like a mid-size. It's like, because you have your casting crank, and you could go.
Yeah, it's a mid-size. You've got a million fish on those, so it's got to be one of your favorites.
Yeah, you could go down. The thing is this, you could subdivide this even further to, like, small twitch baits, flat size, you know. Right. But general, got to have it in your crank. But I will give me one big caveat here. If you're going for your twitch baits, your shallow casting baits, I would say you got to have... Jay says you got to have the 6-inch round, but I'm saying you got to have the 7-inch Slammer, and you got to have the shallow invader. Right?
Fair enough.
Because to me, I do a lot of shallow water twitching with that bait. I do. Now, from a durability standpoint, it's a soft, replaceable tail. Right? You know, it's not going to be a one and done bait. We're talking about durability, but asterisk, caveat, I don't think I'd leave the dock without either of them. Right? Just period. Now, deep casting baits, Jay. Deep casting baits. Not deep, but we're talking mid depth, 6 to 8. That's about your, they call them a deep bait, but that's not truly deep, but that's your 6 to 8 casting crankbait.
I'm up first.
Yeah. What do you got?
I guess I'd probably go with an 8-inch solid straight depth rater by Joe Dooku.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I pick yours?
Yeah. In sucker is what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, right?
If I'm feeling crazy, there's the white one with the orange stripe on this belly, right? It's like... Ooh, if I'm feeling zany, that's the one I'm going for, boys, you know. Oh, you know. What? And I think a lot of it, just tell you flat out. You know, I fish the way I fish. Jay fishes the way he fishes. We fish together when we're able to a little bit. But I think what it is a lot of times when you have access to everything. Jay, you have access to everything. I've got access to everything. So, having the baits and having options is not a problem, right? Where when you just know it, you know it, and there's no comparison, where you just go, whatever. I know that's the one to have. That's, I think, what some of it's like. We're like, you know, because we're not pre-planning or anything. But for me, it's like, okay, that's kind of a no-brainer when I come to that mid-depth crank, because, you know, the other thing I could say is you could get really, really zany and out there and say the 6-inch baby, which I catch the crap out of fish. Right. So you got the 6-inch depth rater and the 8-inch straight. Pick your poison. A lot of times, I mean, I like Ernie's. That would be if you took one of those away from me, my next bait's going to be an Ernie. Right. That would be my next kind of like, okay.
And I'll go one more. So H2O. Cranky Nitro, the deep version,
yeah,
which has a weight system. You can put a little weight on there and go beyond 6 foot on that thing too. Yeah. So the wobbles on those are so violently cool.
Now, when it comes, I'm looking at the crankbaits. It's always the thing jointed, right? Well, what about straight or jointed? Where I'm going to go with the Livingston Pounder on the jointed front, just because it doesn't rise as fast, right? And something I haven't covered in a long time. Long time listeners know, but here's a little trick, right? Your jointed crankbaits give the illusion of speed, right? Yeah. You want to fish your jointed crankbaits in slower scenarios to give the illusion of more action. So we'll unpack that one down the road a little bit more, but when I'm selecting a jointed crankbait, is for a slower application. I like the Livingston Pounder because it's got a little tick more weight in it. It has a really slow rise, right? And I think that's a lot of times with jointed crankbaits, they're a little, they have kind of like the same buoyancy as a straight crankbait at times, or overly buoyant, where if I'm fishing this slow and I'm using the joint to get more motion, more vibration at slower speeds in the application, I'm going to go with that. Is there a jointed crank, like a jointed deep crank you're into? Or are you like a purist with the depth rater jointed, or where are you at?
Yeah, the jointed depth rater. I mean, it's just such a institution when it comes to a crank. And
institution.
You know.
It is.
Jointed deep crankbaits. Yeah, I mean, I always go straight. I'm trying to think of if there's anything in the conversation.
I know you're from the North Woods. You ain't letting any of that weird stuff slide by. They got jointed crankbaits now, boys. It's the end times.
Well,
everybody's getting weird.
Like a jointed swim whiz, an 8-inch swim whiz. Now, there's something that's versatile and cool. You know, you got two depth settings. You got all that wiggle out there. That's not just a trolling bait. It doesn't pull hard.
Well, they don't run deep on a cat. I mean, hell, I'll use a swim whiz as a topwater. That's another ninja trick for you. I've said it before, but take a swim whiz, throw it on the top of a weed top, and reel it in super slow if you can't get them to come up and do anything. But okay, so I'm there. Straight inch depth rater, we agree on that. I like the Pounder. You like the jointed depth rater. Moving on, because I would say, okay, breaking it down even further, there's a bunch. There's kind of the new school, what I call your deep, not like past really deep, but eight, you know, hitting the 8 foot, hitting this stuff, hitting that stuff, deep cranks when you got the small stuff, Jay. What's your favorite small deep cranks?
Small deep cranks. Truly deep.
We're like 8 feet max, 6, you know, that stuff. The lunging stuff, you got freaking all your little stuff.
The 6-inch deep slammer.
Man.
Those are really nice. I'd probably have to go with that one.
Yeah, I would think, you know, what do you do? I'm trying to think of what, some of the stuff gets too small. But I mean, it's going to be appropriate for where you're fishing. I'm just going kind of cross the board average in my. I'm talking to myself here, going.
Yeah, there's basky baits. You know, there's busky, the crossover stuff. You know, if it's got a 4-inch body or less, I don't. You know that. I mean, yeah, they're made for musky too. But it's like, I'm sticking with that 6-inch plus body. You know, and that 6-inch slammer is really good. Again, that's solid plastic, so you got the durability factor.
True.
With the lip, with the finish, everything about it, you know, easy to upgrade the hooks.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want a slower rise, you know.
Yeah, and you can get a deeper running depth there.
Economical.
You know,
they're not expensive.
No, I mean, that you could pretty much outfit your crankbait deal with Bill pretty quickly. I'm trying to think, man, of like... I've got some ancient stuff. The one that I would say that falls in that small category for me is just Tough Shad. That's like a staple in my boat too. Like small downsized crank, ton of rattle to it, and I like the action. Is like the they make an 8-inch mag, which is big, which is the mag they didn't make a 10. I think it's 8. Just the original Tough Shad. That would be my go to. In white, you know, bright day, got to get cranked down there. But that guy put a number 7 split ring on the nose, and it's plenty of action. But a lot of times with those baits, I like to rip them, you know, rip them, let them float up, rip them, that kind of up and down, rippy, rip, rip, rip more. Anyway, my goodness, we're rambling here to an easy one. Dive and Rise, Titan for me. There's no doubt.
Okay, easy. Okay. And Dive and Rise jerkbaits.
And we don't, well, yeah, Dive and Rise. Because my thing is this, I say Titan, obviously I made it, but easy use, durability, it's plastic, and you don't have to learn how to tune the thing. And it comes with all the weights, right? You don't.
It's something you never have to tune.
You never have to tune. But don't, I know you love Titan, Jay, but what's something else? What's something that falls into, okay, easy to use, versatility for you in Dive and Rise. So
Dive and Rise is weird because I mean working in retail for 600 decades in the musky business, it's like you hear from
man,
a lot
take
of people
a look at my baits. What?
Oh, nothing bad.
Say what?
Was that Neil Young that just piped in on the podcast?
Was Neil, he called it.
Name dropper. Oh
man, take a look at my baits.
Neil, go back to Canada.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay,
there you go.
Sorry.
Shoot the puck, Steve.
Shoot that goal.
Oh, man. What were we just talking about? Dive and Rise. That's right.
Which I'm looking for easy to use durability.
Okay. Yeah,
gotta have it in your
That's what
box.
I was getting at the story. You know, people coming in, and a
get
lot of people
tight
are perplexed.
By 4 tight. What?
A lot of people are confused by Dive and Rise in general. They maybe they've never watched a how-to video on retrieving them, but I mean it really doesn't get any easier. The baits are light, they cast great, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, like the problems that a light bucktail will offer, especially when you're casting into wind. You know, we've all been there, we've all had backlashes or professional overruns doing that jazz. But yeah, Dive and Rise, the baits are never heavy. I mean, none of them are really, well, I shouldn't say that, but normal size ones rarely exceed 3 or 4 ounces, so
12 inch
you don't need special gear for them,
You should take, 12 inch Kodiak Navin. That's not a light bait. It's a great bait, but it's not a light bait.
So anyway, a lot of people are perplexed on how to run them, or they even when they're running them pretty good, they think there's something wrong with the bait. It's
they don't
just
do
like
a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they don't do a lot, you know. AKA Suix. Yeah. Suix about the most deadly, you know, performing cool jerkbait ever conceived, you know. And I like the 9-inch HIs, you know. The most Suix are made out of wood, but the 9-inch HI is a newer development that they came out with. HI standing for high impact plastic. So
I'll be.
They also make one with a weight system.
You don't say.
They do, but there's Dive and Rise there that's so easy to use. Just short pulls and taps. You can use the reel handle. There you go. And it's got a tunable metal tip.
There's an article on 360. on how to tune a Civic. I wrote that 7 or 8 years ago. People still read the crap out of it. So if you that, like I said, you can't.
Yeah.
I love, and trust me, I absolutely love Dive and Rise, obviously, and I love Sand Cats. But I think for a durability, you know, Sand Cat's going to hold up, but it's a premium bait, right?
Sand Cats fall in that Dive and Rise category, especially the 8-inch. But
they don't fall squarely in it. It's kind of like a cranky, you know.
Yeah, it's got some hybrid sense to it, right?
Hybrid sense to it, where true Dive and Rise, which you got the Titan, which you don't have to tune, and the high impact Suic, both plastic, both versatile weights. I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And I've got hundreds of Suics.
So. Yeah, and anybody that knows me knows, you know, my beloved Sand Cats are near and dear to me. Tom. So I've got a bunch of them, and they're great. But as far as purest Dive and Rise baits go,
yeah.
Suic Titan 1-2 punch. I put Titan and Titan Junior. Oh man, too good.
Yeah, moving on. Now I was just looking at the wall of the bait cave here.
Mm.
What other is there? Any other baits that like you're trying? I'm trying to think of all the bait classes here off the rip, off the cuff, real time. Beaver
all bait type.
Is okay. There like anything else like a beaver bait? It's like, what's the best beaver bait?
Right. Beaver and baits. Some fall unclassified.
Yeah, it's like, because I just saw one on the was like, there's probably like some dude named Lenny that, you know, puts lead in a sock. Like I said, on the I could catch one on a sock. Yeah, well, the beaver bait's better than the sock with a hook in it. For sure. Now that's a cool
beaver bait. Baits are super super cool. They really are.
I've had a hate love relationship with those baits, because like when I first saw them, I went, okay. I'm always
when you first saw them, you went, oh, that's stupid.
Well, I didn't say stupid. I'm into something different, but it's just like the hype was real. The beaver bait, everybody's beaver,
yeah,
beaver. Yeah. They were outside the store with torches, just chanting beaver in the Northwoods.
Right. Elmer was leading that chant.
He was late for work, mm-hmm. But long story short, you see any, okay. Anytime you see a new design, you got to go, okay, let's see what it does before we formulate an opinion, right? Get it. Typical, you get a new bait and you go, what am I supposed to do with this? Right? Is it pull pause? Is it vertical? What is it? Do I straight retrieve it? But then you hate it because you get real wet, and then you love it again because you catch big fish. So that's the thing. That's the one deal. One thing they've done with that synth, and I don't know if it's across the entire lineup, because I'm not like getting the newsletter on beaver baits here. So excuse me, I'm not trying to misspeak. I know the original ones I had were like a natural hair, and it seems like they've got more synthetics in it, and they get you
they're less all wet synthetic now.
Yeah.
The ones that are deer hairs, yeah, like, we just got some in like 2 days ago.
It's cool, but yeah, but it's, you know, something that gets asked in the email all the time. You know, what do you do with a beaver bait? What is it? Well, I don't know. Throw it out there, jerk it around. Good things happen. You can straight retrieve them. You can jerk them. I typically
look at the underwater stuff on that thing. Yeah. It's so cool the way they undulate, and they mm-hmm. you know, they spring forward after you give it a little bit of pause. It's pretty cool.
There was an old bait. It was a Larry Dahlberg bait called Mr. Wiggly.
Yeah.
Remember those?
I remember, yeah.
And Mr. Wiggly was hamstrung by the fact that it had one hook. Most of the time you get headshot on that bait, but it's an odd bait where it's got like this built-in wire, right? So it has like kind of its internal leader kind of weird deal. And it's got this one hook, and it's basically a profile of a fish, just really thin. And I used to really do good kind of hopping, vertical jigging that. Not jigging, but throw it out, pop it. Almost like tube-esque before tubes were a thing. And that's what I do really well with beaver baits on, is kind of working those same scenarios, right? Because just letting that thing fall and do its magic. But I know a lot of guys do really good, like straight ripping on that thing. Almost like a bulldog or a Medusa, though, too. You know, but just I don't think there is there anything, Jay, that, like I said, the original question, is there anything comparable? to that bait?
To a beaver bait?
Mm-hmm.
Not on the market right now. Not that I can think of, no.
That's
no. Mr. Wrigley, that's funny you brought that up.
Yeah, I've got some in the shop. JSE's proud to announce JSE's weasel bait. It's just a beaver bait with a weasel.
Yeah, don't
tail.
Play an idea in my head. You know, I'm going to come up with something Rudis crazy.
He'll have Tom in the office tying skirts.
Oh. The hyper monkey.
Hyper monkey beaver weasels. Direct to your door from Jay's house. But it gets me to pull pause, right? The classic question, you got what? What are you having? We're talking your big rubber pull paws deep, right? Or not deep, but unweighted. You know what I'm saying? Not the shallow variation, I should say. And then you got a bunch of different sizes. I'm going to break down spring, winter, and fall. Your standard big rubber pull paws. What is it, Jay? Where are you at? What's the one? It's basically, is it a Medusa or a Bulldog? For you, or a Toothy Tough, or what is it?
I'm going 5.5 regular version Toothy Tough, because those things are so cool, and less fish have seen those.
What, the little one?
What no, five, that's the middle one. That's
five,
the middle
five,
one.
The middle?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing, because he's it says 5.5, and you're thinking, well, it's a tiny bait, but that's only a portion of the body without the tail. So
gotcha.
It's actually like an 11-inch bait or something like that, but call it the middle. The middle, middle size, Toothy Tough, single tail, boom. Not the unweighted version, because we got those two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool, you've thrown those. Oh, yeah. Great.
Oh, he makes some cool
bait. Bulldogs, Medusas, of course.
I've got a couple of these like 2-pound ones. I'll let you borrow one.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
If you'll throw it all day, you got to throw.
No, I won't even attempt.
It's a badass bait. I'll tell you, mine's easy. Savage Gear Alien Eel.
Oh, that's right. Yep, mm-hmm. You love those things. Yep.
I'll take. You know, people go, "You're crazy, son. He's gone off the deep end. Price point's great. I could catch scuds of fish on them, and I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't. You go from, and I've got. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my wall of rubber. I mean, if you name it, I got. You know, over underdogs, quad dogs, double tailed dog. You name it, I got it. Husky, musky, Dusa. You know, all of them, every size, every configuration you think of. At this point. Willingness to throw it, number one, you know, and that's a thing. Willingness to throw it.
Okay, there's something to talk about, right?
And that shit's real. We're keeping it real. Me and Jay are like the kid.
Yes.
Remember, you're in middle school, right, Jay? You're in the bleachers. They've called you in. We have a program. Everybody report to the gymnasium. Me and Jay are like the kid. They came and talked to you about how they messed their life up on drugs. And they were keeping it real with you kids, right? That's how real we are, Jay. We're keeping it real. They come. Right. You didn't live through DARE during school, did you? Where they would bring in like some drug addict and be like, "I smoked dope one time and I went to prison and I wrecked a car." Do you ever have those?
No.
Okay. Unfortunate. You should have lived through that anyway. Nonetheless, keeping it real. I'm getting to the point where it's the willingness to throw also plays for me, where I've caught plenty of fish on pounders and I go, well, you know, big bait, big fish, but I've got a lot of really big fish on the standard size alien eel.
And not everyone has the luxury to have special equipment, you know, to break out, or, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a thing. You do.
Because that's what they require. You can't throw that on your light rod, you know, your everyday bucktail light crankbait rod. You can't throw a pounder. So you have to have the gear for it. So a lot of people just travel with one outfit, you know?
Well, a lot of it too, Jay, is not that you can't. You just can't do it for long. So, something's gonna break is what we're getting at here. You can really mess up a reel or
yep.
you know if a rod I'll say this, if it's kind of my school of thought, if a rod can handle fighting a muskie, you can throw just about any bait, but you're just not going to be as efficient, you know. But Like you're, you're going to run. Maybe it can't throw these 2-pound alien eels. I don't know. I wouldn't put that on like my St. Croix twitching stick anytime soon. But no, I think that's true. As far as like, okay, standard size alien eel, which could be your standard size bulldog. My person being the eel. Jay's is that little toothy tough. I'm just old enough to not be delusional anymore. I don't want to do that. And that willingness to do it where I sort of started all out, you know, let me get the biggest rubber bait there is. And I'm going to, you know, beat myself into a pulp. And then I got out of it. And then I found the alien. I was like, okay, this is a different scenario where I enjoy throwing this again. And that's just me. If you're young and dumb and you want to go give her hell, pounders catch a lot of fish. But I think if a fish
you want to fish effectively all day long. Yeah. So, you know, the moment you start breaking out something, I don't care how old you are, that's going to wear you out. That's stressful on parts of your body, just working the darn thing all day.
Right.
You lose your edge and, you know, you could potentially mess up when that one opening occurs on, you know, the one fish a day or what have you. So got to keep sharp. And, you know, it's like you throw pounders all day. Pounders have a specific, like, target audience, you know what I mean? Specific time and place. So go ahead, Steve.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I was going to say, and when considering rubber baits or you're looking to outfit that, I had a friend that said this, and it's a pretty good point because you can get, you know, say you just want to get a couple pull pause baits.
You don't
want to break the bank. I have a friend, you know, he works a normal job. He's not a musky pro, loves musky fish, and he throws some bulldogs, but he always buys the shallow version. He only buys shallow bulldogs. And he's fishing a shallow bulldog in the late fall in Minnesota, even into the, you know, as late as he can get out in the water. But he's reweighting them with add-on weight, so he only has to buy a handful at a time. You know, he gets a light one and a dark one, whatever his colors are. And then he's using like the Chaos Deep Threat weights or the Musky Innovation weight add-ons to dial in his shallow dogs to get down to where he wants them. Right.
So yeah, for sure. Easier to add than take away. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Taken away. There's that video where I was cutting open rubber baits and showing you how they were on the inside. But you know, that's the thing. I like you said, the alien eel, the toothy tough is definitely a different look. There's nothing wrong with a bulldog and reduce. They got a ton of fish. And I think a lot of it for me is I'm just looking for easy use. Looks a heck, it runs a tick different in the water and, you know, it's a real thing anymore for me. The willingness to throw it, you know, the way, and again, whatever, call me a wimp, but meh, you know, remember, you know, Triple D's, right? I have a smattering. They made really big Triple D's at one time, right? Like, I think they were 10, 12 inch Triple D's.
Like a 12, yeah.
I used to jerkbait fish. I said, not anymore, you know?
And I had
some really, really big hellhounds. It's like, for me, great bait. A amount of fish I've caught on is great. Picked one up there today, went, I don't know about this, you know. I think a 10 inch bait will suffice. So again, you know, I don't personally feel like I'm missing opportunities by not going as big of a profile as possible. You know, a lot of guys I've talked to, their thoughts kind of correlate with mine. If it's an active fish, they're going to come check it out most circumstances. But that's it. Okay, so that's kind of it. Well, the shallow thing for me, because like alien eel does not offer a shallow. Does toothy tough offer a shallow option?
They do. Yeah.
They do. Okay. What will be your shallow pull pulse and why?
Okay. Something different from
no, it can be whatever. If it's a toothy tough,
I mean the toothy tough version. Remember that day we were using those out on that one lake?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Or you could go with like a triple tailed version of that. A shallow Medusa. And depending on the size profile, you know, I really like the mid size.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a light bait you can throw on your bucktail rod if that's what you have that day.
Or
big enough profile, or the 5.5, the midsize toothy tough in the shallow version, slower sink rate, and keep that thing really high in the water column, good stuff.
Shallow mag dog. That's about it. I have a willingness to throw that. I throw shallow mag dogs at reefs. That's kind of what I keep them around for.
Throw them up on reefs and kind of bring them down. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the tactic.
That's the tactic. That's the one. Like I said, sticking to baits, I'm actually throwing and what we go with, and that's it. So if it's a shallow one, that's what I'm actually using, shallow mag dog. I've got some of my shallow mag dogs are older than sin. They're on like their 50th tail. Not really, but they're on some tail. Here's a fun one. Mm-hmm. This will help you holiday shoppers. You got your gift card. Like I said, Jay, they're digging into their Christmas stash.
Mm-hmm.
Topwater, tail prop.
Okay. Topwaters. Tail prop. Okay. I'm just trying to think all the options here.
Well, I know. I mean, what do you throw?
I'm partial to the Booker Top Raider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so many weird ones, too. Stuff that is and stuff that is not in production.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
it's fun breaking them out.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm... Yeah. If I had one bait, it would be the Top Raider. Profile's perfect. Size and profile's perfect. It's a great bait.
Fat bastard.
Public.
Yeah.
You're going like X, Fat B. Okay.
Just for... I don't say difference, just the loudness. I torn. I love the Top Raiders, but Fat B has been nasty good lately for me. That's what's in the box. That's what, throwing predominantly and productive.
And that's the thing. There's such a wide spectrum of noise emitted by these different things. I mean, Smitty makes a bunch of them.
Yeah.
River to Sea.
I know. That's the thing. If you're just
Safari.
We've got to pick one.
Some are subtle. Some. It's just like the Smitty Top Kick. It's Gooch's Tallywhacker, which doesn't look like they're going to be made anymore. Kings of the very subtle type. Straight, right? Yeah. Retrieve.
It's again, like all baits, it's not a one for one, but I get in the tackle box, I'm just going to grab it and go, and that's the one where it's because even.
Yeah, and both those are baits it's a sound thing, and you can slow them down to nothing too. And that's maybe underutilized in the retrieves of both those baits. Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of it, that's one thing I'm notorious in, believe it or not, got a lot of blades in topwaters.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever thinks of throwing, but. Got a lot of different topwaters, and it's a sonic thing. It's yes, they all go pop 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 pop, but they make silent whopper ploppers. Ever fish those? They do some damage, and they make silent topwaters, and they the Fat Bastard's like a really articulate pop, 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 and Jay did it years back, and if you've not watched it, if you've not revisited, it's worth looking at. We were talking one night and came up with this sonic shootout on topwaters where it's the actual, just the audio of the topwaters.
Yeah.
And if you got decent ears on, you can hear there's a marked difference, right? That might be something doing again, Jay, just to update with any new baits.
Yeah, I know.
Take a boom mic out and try to get it even clearer, just tail props on or whatever it is. But. Everybody wants to crawl up the rabbit hole of 8.9s, 9.10s, blade sizes. All the blade sizes matter. All this matters. Well, that's vibration. The same thing with this pop. It is translating the sonics the sonics of a tail prop bait are a pretty good indication of how aggressively it's emitting vibration, right? Fish perceive sound way differently than we do. And so... how aggressive that pop is, or is it rumbly, or is it articulate, is it super subtle? There's a lot of things happening there. Like I said, I wouldn't give up any of my top waters. You know, I want to play with them and try different options there.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, because what walk the dogs are there? What walk the dogs are left on the market, Jay?
Left on the market. Yeah, good addition to that statement. Post giant jackpot.
Okay, there you go.
Absolute classic, made out of wood.
Still there.
They don't make the bigger. They don't make the Havana Jack.
Banana.
I know. That's your baby. I know.
I've bought them.
Suic Weagles, three sizes.
Yeah, I have. Water Moccasin.
Water Moccasin by Muskie Safari.
That to me is a little more intuitive than the Weagle. Water Moccasin, like, right, if you've never walked the dog. But I think, dude, and the problem is this, just calling it like it is, I know, have they changed the hardware on the production jackpots, like, out of the package? Or is it smaller hardware? Have they upped the hardware?
Oh, not that I've noticed. Not recently, anyway. The size of that bait changed like several years ago.
Okay.
They made it a little bit smaller than they used to be back in the day. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, overall,
it's just not
of course the Booker Walking Raider too.
Yeah,
that's a big profile.
That's a big top.
Psycho Froggy Walk the Doggy. There's another viral video for you. Yeah, that's a top water thing. Yeah,
but that's the Booker one is pretty large. I mean, but it's in the class of the Havana Banana. You know, it's
Livingston makes a Walking Boss. Walking Boss One. That's a Walk the Dog.
That's the one without the lip. Yeah, yep, I'm going. I mean, just sheer easy use. I got to go Pose. You got to pick one and Walk the Dog topwater. There's no brainer for
me too. I love working those things. Yeah, it's a great search bait, is what they are. Really, I know you catch a lot of fish on them, but I don't.
What vertical jigs? Well, there's like hardly any vertical musky jigs. You got your fussies, and we'll leave that alone. I'm just teasing, but we're hopefully this breaks it down. Something else. I'm looking here on the wall. Rattle traps. The Booker rattle trap. That's ooh, all day long. You've got what is it? Bill Lewis rattle trap? Is that the original one?
That's the original to my the original rattle trap was Bill Lewis lures decades ago. So they've got two sizes. They got like an ounce and a half one, and they got one that's around an ounce. Mm-hmm. And those are inexpensive baits. I mean, they're like $15 or less, I think.
If you're not, I've talked to guys who are like, I don't fish. Have a rattle trap, just have it, right? Get you a Booker rattle trap, or like Joe saying, the Bill Lewis, whatever. They come in handy when you need them. You know, and I've caught scuds of bycatch too. You know, when you really got to downsize on those Booker rattle traps, I think that's he's pushed it forever, and it's just not big enough. But it's a heck of a, Herbeck has a term, he calls it a gentleman's bait, Jay. All right, somebody that's not going to sit there, and I mean, majority of it, when you're a guide, the majority of your clients do not want to come out and throw the world's biggest bait all day long, right? And you get, you know, get a elderly dude on the boat, not an uncommon thing. All right, put this on, throw it out, turn the handle, and rattle traps will come in handy in that light. And there's a lot of guys, well, it's too small. It's kind of the Prometheus of busky fishing was the rattle trap. I think that's where
that I'd agree.
Size, you know, and That's something not to sleep on, obviously, in the early spring or anything like that, post-spawn, all that. But having one in your arsenal, I think, is a worthwhile endeavor just to have there. But, you know, hopefully that helps all the folks that are trying to get their Christmas bucks spent there. Again, we could go, and I don't want to. I have too much love for every bait there is, where I don't want you to think it's like a, this one sucks, this one isn't great. It's like, okay, if you just had to boil it down, durability and all that stuff, that's kind of where we're at. But hopefully that helps them spend their Christmas gift cards and their Christmas cash, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Get them in there. Get them in your arsenal. Help you narrow it down there. Anyway, working on, Jay, little teaser here. I got to clean out some baits I mentioned. We're going to try to do some Steve stash giveaways over the winter here. I got to kind of I've got to get through some boxes here. I'm still sorting. I still have like my baits from Canada just in a box. I need to put them away and get rid of some stuff here. So it's overload. But anyway, hopefully that helps you. If you're looking at different bait categories, you're trying to figure out what would work for you. That's what works for us. That's it. Anyway,
baits, baits we love.
Well, say goodnight.
Bye-bye, guys. Thank you.